mothers. So I'm going to kind of keep with our theme today and talk about what the Bible says about mothers. And start with one of the verses that comes to my mind often. You know, as you guys can attest, finding an excellent wife is tricky, is difficult. Convincing her to marry you once you found her is also very difficult. What you didn't realize is, go ahead and show the first slide, is even after you have found the excellent little wife, you will spend, oh, the smiley face doesn't come out. You will spend a significant part of the rest of your life looking for your excellent wife, even though you have already found her. For those of you who have gone shopping and have found that as soon as you get interested in something, that your wife has gone off and you don't know where she's gone. Here's a verse for you. Solomon, who was somewhat of an expert in wives, said this a long time ago. An excellent wife, who can find her? But as the next one, the next slide shows, you can't just leave her there because she's very valuable. Her worth is far above jewels, that verse finishes. But nevertheless, don't worry. The Bible tells us that there is a benefit in getting favor from the Lord if we find her. This is the next one. Who finds a wife, finds a good thing, and obtains favor from the Lord. So all is well when you find her. I was involved, actually, in some of the research and development for cell phones long ago when they were new, have always been convinced that one of the main motivations for inventing the cell phone is to find a wife. And then having found the wife is to find where she went. It would be interesting to know what percentage of text messages from men are just simply, where are you? But the Bible says, even outside of Proverbs, the Bible says a lot about mothers. It talks about mothers 249 times specifically, and a wife another 530 times. So that's 779 altogether after reading through all of these. Sure, I read through all of them. Valerie was out for a weekend, you know, so I read. No, I found 14 references in Proverbs that I thought were particularly interesting. And I thought it would be fun today to look through what Solomon and the other wise guys who wrote Proverbs say about mothers and just kind of use that as our basis for today. Now, clearly, the perspective of mothers that's given in Proverbs is general. These are general statements. All the Proverbs are general statements about life. And they are clearly talking about mothers who are godly, mothers who are very honorable, and like everything else in God's creation, there are some moms that have issues. So that's not really the part of what I'm talking about today. I'm going to talk about what Proverbs says, and they talk in generalities, and they talk about moms as a general rule. And I think it was, after looking at them, I thought this is a great just sort of set of things for us to remember about moms, and I thought that I'd just go through those 14 today for Mother's Day. It tells us how we should treat them, how we should treat their advice. It tells us what we should remember about them. It tells us how rare and beautiful mothers are. So the first main grouping of Proverbs that I found tell us to listen to her advice and to do it. Here's a go to the Proverbs 1:8 one. Next one, Jonathan. And there's a pair of them here that I found that say almost the same thing. That tell us in Proverbs 1:8, my son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother. I am going to kind of treat these as I go through. You'll notice in Proverbs, it almost uses father and mother interchangeably. Sometimes it's apparently not meaning them to be interchangeably, but often it uses that the father in one line and the mother in the other are really talking about your parents. But I'm going to just sort of assume in some of these cases that things are for both of them. So the first one says, hear the instruction of your father and don't forsake the law of your mother. And the second one, my son, keep your father's command and don't forsake the law of your mother. They're almost exactly the same. If you put them up together so you can find the difference, really is in the father's one. The first one tells you to listen to what he says, and the second one tells you to do what he says. So both of those things are good things to remember when you're talking about the instructions from your parents. But look what it says about moms. How should you treat her counsel? Not only should you listen to it when you're young, when you're living at home, but there's a longevity to her advice. Don't forsake her law. And what is it I think he's talking about, the law here? These are the rules that she lived by. If you think back, or some of you are still living at home, you can think about mom, and you say, what are the things that she really cared about? What were the laws that mom kind of lived by? These are things like she always took care of anyone who was in her house. She always kept things so clean. She always had food and clothes to share with anyone who needed them, or she always went to church no matter how tired she was. Things like this, these are kind of the rules that mom lived by. This is what I think he's talking about here in this Proverbs. And maybe each of us could look back and think about the kind of things that our mom did and see whether there aren't some of those laws that mom had that we've forsaken that maybe we should go back and unforsake. Do you ever hear someone say something like, I should have listened to what my mother told me? They understood the law of what mom did, the law of your mother, but they didn't keep doing them. Someone who's grown up and they're living on their own and they've gone off a bit of their own way, and then they realize, I could have avoided a lot of trouble if I had just listened to what my mom said. And if I didn't forsake her laws, a wise child follows their mom's law even after they're young, when they've grown up. So what does the proverb say? Does it say anything about the child who ignores their mother's wisdom? But the next one, this is from Proverbs 30, verse 17. The eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out, and the young eagles will eat it. Well, that's graphic. Happy Mother's Day. what does that mean? I'll give you a hint. What kind of people do ravens attack? I heard it. Dead people. Ravens don't attack people that just go out in the forest looking for something, or go out in the backyard. Ravens attack dead people. So it means that people who scoff at their mother's wisdom, that is, people that have the attitude, mom doesn't know what she's talking about. I understand everything I need to know. I don't care what mom says. I'm not really listening. Those kind of people that have that attitude about her whole view of life, they scoff at it, they scorn at it, those people end up dying unfortunate deaths. That's what that says. I think that it has a reference there to actual physical death, actual health, things. Obviously, that's one of the things that it's talking about, but I think it also is very applicable to a sort of a spiritual death. People that tend to walk away from what their mom has advised them tend to fall into a kind of a spiritual death, or if you will, even an emotional death. That is, they're becoming an emotional wreck. And after looking back, they can realize that the beginning of it is the time when they turn their back on what their godly parents were teaching them. Now, I'm not talking about a child that was raised as a Baptist and ends up becoming a charismatic. I'm talking about a child that goes against the entire worldview of their parents. Surely you remember seeing someone like this. They decided that their mom didn't know anything. They decided their friends knew better. Their favorite bloggers or podcasters or YouTubers or social media connections knew better. They went their own way, which is very different from their home, and they ended up to be a disaster, emotionally or spiritually or financially or even health-wise. Proverbs warns us that as a general rule, which is really what Proverbs is about, people who scorn their mother end up getting taken advantage of, and they end up in a major trouble. Didn't write it, but that is what he says. Proverbs tells us there's more. Proverbs 29:15, the Yeah. The rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. It tells us that a child is not intended to find his own way. The child is left to himself brings shame to his mother. A child is not intended to be left to find his own way. In fact, it tells us that when they are left to themselves, they end up becoming ashamed to their mother. They are intended to be instructed and to even be rebuked by loving mothers so that they will not become what they would have been on their own. That's not really cultural, is it? Pause and consider. The child that is left to himself brings shame to his mother. The Bible teaches us that a child, when left uninstructed, ends up into trouble. And children were meant to be instructed, even corrected or rebuked by loving mothers, because they don't want them to become what they would be if they were left to themselves. Proverbs also tells us something about the heart of mothers. The next one is in Proverbs 4:3. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother. Mothers have a way of looking at you and convincing you that you are the only one she is thinking about. This grown-up son who wrote this, did he just say that he was his mom's favorite? I think he did. Tender and the only one in the sight of his mother. Moms have a way of making every child know that they're their favorite. And it's the heart of a mom that genuinely cares about every one of them. And so I think this proverb is telling us that no matter what has happened in the relationship between mom and child, no matter how much has gone under the bridge, there's one thing that you can count on that's still true. You are still precious to her, and her heart is still tender towards you, because that's part of what God put into moms. There's another law of nature that Proverbs talks about. It's in Proverbs 23, 24 and 25, that she wants the best for you. Mom wants and the best for you, rejoices when that happens. It says, the father of the righteous will greatly rejoice when he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. She rejoices when her child is wise and righteous, because she knows good will come for them. Moms genuinely want the best for their children. They are generally happy when they succeed, and they are generally sad when they fail. But you can count on mothers to rejoice for you when you are wise and righteous. On the other hand, Proverbs 10:1 says that a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is a grief to his mother. Not all children are righteous and wise when they grow up. Some just intentionally act foolish, and this will bring grief to the mother. And she will rejoice for them when they're being blessed, she will grieve for them when they have to live with the consequences of their foolishness. She knows what will become of them, and it makes her sad. How many mothers have you known that have grieved for their children because of the foolish things that they did? One of the things you can count on that Proverbs doesn't really mention is you can count on that a grieving mother will pray for her children. And it's a fact, and we've all seen it happen, that the prayers of a mother who's grieving for her children really make a difference. And they're one of the most powerful blessings that we all probably have, but that everyone who has a godly mother has. No child's rejection of God is final as long as a mom is still praying for them. And it's just one of those things that comes out of a grieving mother's heart that God uses to bless her children. How many times have we heard the stories? Grieving moms pray, and it's one of the greatest blessings. And we've heard the stories of after often many, many years, a mom has prayed for her child, and they've come back to the Lord. So now the next set of Proverbs that I'm going to show have to do with how we treat her. And this next section tells us that we should honor our mothers. Starting in 15:20, Proverbs 15:20, a wise son makes his father glad, but a foolish son despises his mother. This one almost looks like the last one that we had. In fact, in the next slide, Jonathan, I put them both so you can see them. The first line is not identical, but I'm not really sure the difference between a wise son makes a glad father and a wise son makes a father glad. That one's too theological for me. But the second line is a little bit different, and I think that it's interesting because of the slight difference in these two lines. Proverbs 10:1 tells us that a foolish son will cause his mother pain, and Proverbs 15:20 tells us that a foolish son starts to feel bitter and angry and despise his mother in his heart. And this, so they, it ends up going both ways. Putting these two together, we see a picture of a relationship between the foolish son and his mother. He is getting bitter and angry with her. He despises her in his heart, and she is always aching in her heart for him. And actually, this kind of relationship is not that unusual. Unfortunately, there's mother and son, mother and daughter relationships that have ended up this way. Why does the proverb call the child a fool for it? He does that because there's something lacking in the child's character. Because what kind of a person will despise their mother, according to the second proverb here? It says a foolish person, a foolish man will despise his mother. Consider the following one in Proverbs 30:11. What does it tell us about this kind of person that despises his mother? There's a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother. There is a generation that is pure in its own eyes, yet not washed from its filthiness. It tells us that this, when you put these two together, it tells us that people who will not bless their mothers are self-righteous. That is, they're pure in their own eyes. They think that they understand everything and they don't realize they're mistaken. They don't realize even the immorality in them and their own selves. So they think, put simply, they think that they are clean, but they're really dirty, is what this is telling us about the kind of person that will not bless their mother. It's a characteristic of a generation that has made a moral break from their godly parents. The next passage tells us more. It's from Proverbs chapter 20, verse 20. Whoever curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put out in deep darkness. So it warns us that our lamp will be put out if we curse our father and mother. What does that mean? What is the lamp? Well, looking not too far in this section of the Bible, the word lamp is used in a couple of other places, and we can see clearly what he means by it. Go to the next one. Thy word in Psalms 189, it's not 199. It's 180, what's the long one? 119, okay. Psalms 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And in Proverbs 6:3, for the commandment is a lamp and the law is a light and the reproof of instruction are the way of life. So what is the lamp? It's the word of God. It's God showing you what is right and wrong. It shows us what we ought to do. It's like on a path, right? You have your lamp, your flashlight, your lantern, or whatever you have to show you the path. Is how you can tell the right path from the wrong path. And when your lamp goes out, you can't tell right from wrong, and you don't know or maybe care what you should do. Proverbs warns other people about of their lamps being put out. In Proverbs 13:9, it tells us the light of the righteous rejoices, but the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. So when the wicked get their lamp put out, they don't anymore see what is right and wrong. So going back to the warning about those who treat their mothers with dishonor is saying that those who fail to treat their mothers with honor are living in danger of not being able to clearly see what is right from wrong. They're living in danger of searing their conscience or spoiling their ability even to hear the Holy Spirit's warnings. And honoring your mother is not just for your mother when she is young. The next verse tells us in Proverbs 23, 22, listen to your father who begot you and do not despise your mother when she is old. So it isn't just for when mom is young. It is also for mom when she is old. So even when she is old and sometimes she acts like an old person, we should not lose our tender feelings for her. We should still treat her with honor, it tells us. So now while these previous verses were talking mainly about how we consider her in her heart and how that affects how we treat her, there are a couple of other proverbs that are also talking specifically about how we treat mom. Proverbs 19:26 tells us that he who mistreats his father and chases away his mother is a son who causes shame and brings reproach. We should always be kind and welcoming to mothers. And then Proverbs 28:24, whoever robs his father or his mother says there is no transgression, the same as a companion to a destroyer. It tells us, don't take your mother's possessions for granted, as though they were your own. Respect mother, respect her stuff. This is part of showing honor. In fact, the New Testament actually talks specifically about caring for parents financially, and it connects it with honoring them. I put these two verses from Matthew 15 up here, these two sections from Matthew 15, to remind you what I'm talking about. There's a lot of words, but you'll see how they connect here. There's a conversation between Jesus and the scribes and Pharisees. Scribes and Pharisees are religious leaders who are basically full-time ministry people. And they got into this discussion with Jesus, and the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders, for they don't wash their hands when they eat bread? And he answered them and said, why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? So the Pharisees and all were accusing Jesus' followers of not treating the Old Testament commands well. And he says, well, you don't either. And then here's his example in the next section, and starting in verse 4. So God commanded saying, honor, Jesus tells them, God commanded you saying, honor your father and mother. And he who curses his father and mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father and mother, whatever profit you might have received from me as a gift to God, then he need not honor his father and mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God to no effect by your tradition. So I need to explain this a little bit, what is going on here. Jesus is telling in the Old Testament that the law tells you should honor your father and mother, and that means you should take care of them. But there was apparently this practice that people who were considering full-time ministers would dedicate all their stuff to God. So while they had money, maybe they were getting payment from the treasury, or they had couches and beds and whatever in their house, they would sort of dedicate all this stuff to God, which meant that it was off limits to mom and dad, and whatever mom and dad needs, we're not going to take it from that stuff, because I'm still using it, that's all been dedicated to God. And Jesus is telling them, well, you guys aren't honoring your parents because you've sort of playing this game with all of your stuff, and you keep from them what they need. And to honor them, you should help provide for their financial needs with whatever you have. This is Jesus's point. And it's the same as what we saw in Proverbs. So, just a couple of them left. The next section is basically coming from Proverbs 31, and the Bible teaches us that godly wives and mothers are rare, and they're beautiful, and they're valuable above anything else. Proverbs 31, chapter verse 10 says, who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her. It's on the next one. Yeah. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, and so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Moms are literally the most trustworthy person in the world. A godly mom is the most trustworthy person in your life, is what he's saying. She does good for her family. She does good for her husband. There are often these surveys, right, of who is the most trustworthy person. Who is the most trustworthy person in terms of their office, their role? For example, Barna did a survey recently and found that, go ahead and show the next one, Jonathan. He did a recent survey recently and found that 31% of churchgoers believe their pastor to be a trustworthy source of wisdom. Pause and consider. Okay. And then, sadly, however, go to the next one. Well, while that is true, sadly, they also found that about twice that many pastors thought that their congregation thought they were a trustworthy source of wisdom. So more than twice as many pastors think everyone's listening to them. So I'm sure that's not true here, because I know you all think I'm a source of wisdom. Who do you think is... of the following kinds of people are trustworthy? I think I put this one on as well, Jonathan. Yes, who do you think is trustworthy? Doctors. 60% of people thought, this is a post-COVID survey, by the way, thought doctors were trustworthy. Teachers, 58%. Scientists have come down a bit. Judges, 34%. That's interesting. They're slightly better than pastors, apparently. Bankers, 27%, journalists, 24%, advertising execs, 13%, and politicians, generally speaking, are at the bottom at 10%. If moms were included on this survey, I am convinced that they would be on the top, because children can trust their moms. Children trust their moms' advice more than they trust the advice from the doctor. I mean, I know this to be a fact. Because if the doctor says the shot isn't going to hurt, who's going to believe that? What's the kid going to do? The kid's going to look at mom. And if mom says the shot's not going to hurt, then it's not going to hurt. But mom's not going to say the shot's not going to hurt. She's going to say something like, you're going to be okay, which is different. Or you're going to survive, or something, or it's good for you, or we're going to get candy when it's all done, or something that actually is true. But if mom were to say whatever it is isn't going to hurt, then you can trust that. Moms are almost always trustworthy, except when they say they're going shopping for 10 minutes. Except for that, moms are always trustworthy. In fact, I'm convinced that if the pastor survey were done for moms, they would have found it the other way around. A relatively small amount of moms think that their children consider them a source of wisdom, but almost all children consider their moms to be a source of wisdom. I think that's the way it would have come out. And Proverbs 31 kind of wraps it all up for us, starting in verse 28. Her children rise up and call her blessed, and her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Sorry. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Today, we don't have any gates, but we will honor moms nevertheless. From looking at these verses in Proverbs, we learn that we should listen to her and do what she tells us to do. We learn that she genuinely cares about us. We learn that moms want the best for us. And she grieves when we go off foolishly, and she rejoices when we act wisely and righteously. We should honor her, and we should treat her well. And we learn that a godly wife and mother is rare and a beautiful and a valuable thing far above all the jewels. So I wanted to finish today by praying over the moms that are here, just praying a blessing over them, that God would bless them with health and with joy and with all the things that moms need. So let's do this by just like we've done before, just stand up and get together in a group that has at least one mom in it. And if you see a mom that needs to be adopted that's nearby, just adopt her into your group, and just pray a prayer of blessing over the moms that are here. And then when we're done, we will have the chicken, and I'll pass out the flowers and candy and stuff.